So, you have an animated movie idea for me.
Yes, sir, I do. Hamlet meets Bambi in Africa with cats.
Oh, random word association is tight. Potato light bulb with a guinea pig judge.
Those are some very random words, sir, but mine were actually deliberately chosen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the movie's gonna be called The Lion King.
Wow, well, okay, what happens in the movie?
Well, the first image is gonna be this amazing African sunrise accompanied by some beautiful African music.
Oh, that sounds so peaceful. How does the music go?
Oh, it's gonna go a little something like, yeah, exactly, you know it?
No, I don't, and that sounded really aggressive. I couldn't even understand what you were saying.
I was saying Janssen Ganyama Bagiti Baba.
Oh, okay, it did sound a lot cooler when you just yelled it.
Yeah, I thought so.
So what happens after the sunrise?
Well, all these African animals are gonna gather around to honor this new baby lion Simba, who's gonna be king someday.
Seems a little weird that they'd all gather to honor a predator that's probably gonna kill them.
No, see, it all has to do with the circle of life, so they're cool with it.
What's the circle of life?
Oh, it's this really cool thing that Simba's dad Mufasa is gonna explain to him.
Okay.
See, the lions might violently murder and eat all the animals, but when the lions die, they turn to grass and the animals eat them.
One of those groups is clearly getting a better deal out of that.
It's all perfectly fair.
So the lions are in charge because they can kill anyone they want?
Right.
I'm pretty sure that's called a reign of terror.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So what other characters are in the movie?
Well, there's Simba's uncle Scar, who thinks he should be king when Mufasa dies.
Why do they call him Scar?
Because he's got a scar on his face.
Oh, that's a little on the nose.
No, it's a big one on his eye.
Never mind.
We're also gonna have Simba grow up with this lioness named Nala, and eventually they're gonna fall in love.
But don't prides of lions only have like one or two males?
Yeah, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, that means that Nala's father is either Mufasa or Scar.
Right, yeah.
So Simba and Nala are either half-siblings or cousins.
Exactly.
Oh, you're being weirdly okay with cat incest.
Yeah.
Remind me to never hang out with you, okay?
I'll do that.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, Simba's gonna have this whole big song and dance number about how he can't wait to be king.
Wow, that's super mean.
What do you mean?
I mean, you could secretly wish for your father to die, but singing a whole song about it is kind of messed up.
I guess it is a little messed up now that you mention it.
Simba's a jerk.
Anyway, so later Scar and his hyenas are gonna trap Mufasa and Simba in a wildebeest stampede.
Oh, so Mufasa tells them to calm down or something?
What? No, they can't speak English, you silly producer.
Oh, they can't?
Yeah, only the animals I decide speak English speak English.
Right, that makes sense.
So then Scar is gonna kill Mufasa and go to Simba like, this is all your fault. You better run away and never come back.
Very harsh.
Yeah, so Simba's gonna start to leave and Scar's gonna tell his hyenas to go kill him.
Wait, what?
Well, Scar wants to make sure that he gets the throne.
Right, but what was the point of that whole run away and never return thing if he was just gonna kill him? Why not just kill him right away?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
So then Simba's gonna manage to escape and he's gonna get raised by a meerkat named Timon and a warthog named Pumbaa.
Oh, and what does he do with them?
He walks across a log till he's all grown up.
Wow.
And yeah, since Simba is grown up now, you're gonna have to find another voice actor for these parts.
Oh yeah, I think I'm gonna try to get Matthew Broderick. He's great.
Well, you kinda need an actor that also has an amazing singing voice, you know?
No, I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll just get somebody else to perform the singing parts.
Like who?
Well, I could for sure get Joseph Williams.
The lead singer from Toto?
Yeah, that dude is obsessed with Africa.
That's a good point, so this is a perfect fit for him.
So what happens next?
Well, one day Nala is gonna show up and be like, holy crap, Simba, we all thought you were dead.
Wow, it must be great to see his sister again.
Yeah, and she's gonna be like, bro, you need to come back, because Scar took over with a bunch of hyenas, and now there's no food or water or rain.
Wow, I can't believe Scar messed up the weather like that.
Yeah, and then Simba and Nala are gonna roll around, and she's gonna give him this look like, oh boy, you and I are gonna get it on, brother.
Feels like it's gonna be difficult to convey that expression on a cartoon animal, though.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just get me in a room with your weirdest animator, and I'll tell him exactly how it should look.
Oh, I can't wait for you to be out of my office, you weirdo.
Anyway, so then Simba's gonna talk to a cloud and go home to confront Scar.
How does that go?
Well, Scar tells everybody that Simba killed Mufasa and he's a murderer.
Oh, so Simba explains what really happened?
No, he's gonna be like, I'm not a murderer, and that's about it.
Wow.
Yeah, and so then they're gonna fight and Scar's gonna end up getting eaten by his hundreds of hyena buddies.
Incredible.
And so yeah, then Simba becomes king again and it immediately starts to rain and all the plants and stuff grow back.
I never realized that a lion monarchy could have such an impact on the weather and environment.
Yeah, it's a little known fact.
Very cool. And what happens with the hyenas?
Well, we never see them again, so I guess the lions ate them.
Oh my god.
Yeah, real savage. So what do you think?
Well, it sounds great. I can't wait to cash in on it a few times.
What do you mean, a few times?
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's gonna be called Aladdin.
Oh, Aladdin what? Like in the city or something?
Just Aladdin, that's the guy's name.
Oh, I thought this was like a Scottish thing, never mind.
Okay, so anyway, we're gonna meet this shopkeeper guy, and he's gonna be like, I'm gonna tell you the story about a magic lamp.
Okay, and we'll come back to him at the end.
No, we'll never see him again.
Oh, just fully abandoning your framing device.
Yeah, completely.
Wow.
And we're gonna have this cool song about Arabian Nights.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Yeah, it's gonna be like where they cut off your ear if they don't like your face. It's barbaric, but hey, it's home.
Oh, I think that might be racist.
Oh, whoops.
Whoopsie.
Should I change it, or?
Nah, let's keep it like that, and if people get mad, we'll change it for the home release.
Well, now that you bring it up, I feel like people are probably gonna get mad.
Nah, let's just keep it.
Well, okay then.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, we're gonna meet this Princess Jasmine, and the law says she has to marry a prince before her next birthday.
Or what?
Vague consequences.
Oh, that sounds bad.
Yeah, it might be.
How old is Jasmine anyway?
She's like 15.
Oh, this whole thing's gonna be a little creepy then, isn't it?
Yeah, if you stop to think about any of it, for sure.
Well, let's hope people don't do that.
Fingers crossed. So anyway, she's gonna venture into the market and meet this poor guy, Aladdin.
That's the name of the movie.
It sure is. So they're instantly gonna fall in love, but he's gonna get captured by some guards.
Oh no.
And then this bad guy, Jafar, tricks him into going into a cave.
Oh, tricking people into going into caves is tight.
Yeah, and the whole thing about this cave is that only one can enter, and he has to be a diamond in the rough.
Oh, very mysterious. Is the cave full of treasures?
It is. So Aladdin enters with his monkey, Abu.
I thought only one could enter.
Yeah, well, Abu is an animal, so I guess it doesn't count.
Wow, too bad Jafar doesn't have an animal companion.
Oh, he does, actually. He has a super smart parrot named Iago.
Oh, so why didn't he send Iago in?
Because.
That works.
Yeah, so anyway, inside this cave, they're not allowed to touch anything except this magic lamp.
Oh, sounds serious.
Yeah, it is. So they immediately touch a flying carpet.
Oh my god, so what happens?
Nothing. They become friends with it.
So that no touching thing was nonsense?
Well, no, because then Abu touches a ruby and the whole place starts to fall apart and into lava and stuff.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and they almost escape, but then Jafar betrays them and leaves them for dead.
That's not very nice.
Nope. But luckily, Abu managed to grab the magic lamp and a big old genie comes out of it.
Oh, a big old genie.
And the genie can't make people fall in love, so Aladdin is like, okay, I wish for you to make me into a prince.
Oh, right, because he's in love with the underage girl.
Yeah, so that'll lead us into this whole story where Aladdin is trying to get with the underage girl, but it's not working.
Very weird. I feel uncomfortable.
And the genie's gonna be like, well, you know, you should tell her the truth. You're not a prince.
Wait, so he didn't make him into a prince?
Apparently not, I guess, or him being a prince would be the truth.
Wow, Aladdin kinda got a crappy deal here.
Yeah, but he definitely made it look like he was a prince. Like he had a big parade with a bunch of loyal subjects cheering for him. Like he made it look legit.
Wait, what loyal subjects?
Unclear, but there were lots of them.
Did he create life just to pretend that Aladdin is a prince?
Maybe.
Wow, this genie's like a god that went insane.
Yeah, so anyway, now Jafar wants to marry Jasmine so he can become sultan.
How does he plan on doing that?
Well, Jafar is able to manipulate the current sultan to get whatever he wants.
Oh, like he has a way with words?
No, he has a staff that lets him magically manipulate him.
What?
Yeah, he has like a magic cobra staff, lets him hypnotize people, get them to do what he wants. So why doesn't he just make the sultan relinquish his power?
I don't know.
Why doesn't he make Aladdin go away?
I don't know.
Why doesn't he make Jasmine marry him?
Okay, please get off my back about this mind control stuff.
It's just weird to give the guy who wants stuff the power to make people give him stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm a weird guy. What can I say?
I don't know if that makes up for it. It does, actually. So anyway, then Aladdin is gonna take Jasmine on a magic carpet ride.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, and he's gonna say super romantic stuff while they're up there, like, don't you dare close your eyes.
Oh, so he threatens her?
Yeah, but in a romantic setting.
I feel like that makes it worse.
Well, she's into it, so it kinda works.
Well, okay then.
And then eventually Jafar gets his hands on the lamp.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and he exiles Aladdin to this snowy, freezy place so he'll freeze and die.
Wow, well, it's gonna be hard for Aladdin to get out of there.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because see, Jafar sent him over there with his magic carpet.
Oh, that's very considerate of him.
It is. So Aladdin, you know, just kind of flies back.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and he manages to defeat Jafar by tricking him into wishing he was a genie.
Oh, very smart.
Yeah, but now Aladdin's not a prince anymore, so he can't marry Jasmine.
Was he a prince, though?
Not super clear, but he's definitely not anymore because his clothes changed.
Well, okay then.
But Aladdin promised Genie he would use his final wish to set him free, so now he's gotta be like, ah, I gotta choose between love and keeping my promise.
Why doesn't he just do both?
What do you mean?
Well, he could wish to be a prince, whatever that means, then give Jasmine the lamp and she could wish for Genie's freedom.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, that would solve everything.
Well, then let's just pretend like this is a dramatic moment then.
Oh, okay, I love pretending.
Great, and so that's about it.
Well, sounds great.
Oh, and we're gonna have to get somebody really good to play the Genie.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, he has to be super charismatic and funny.
Maybe we can get Robin Williams?
Oh, he'd be perfect. He'd eat that role roll up.
Oh yeah, he'd just be irreplaceable, so goodbye to future remakes and stuff. So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And I know this is going to be the first ever feature-length computer-animated movie, so I made sure to keep the human characters to a minimum.
Well, that's very nice of you, but honestly, it'd be even better if there were no humans at all. We are not good at rendering those right now.
Well, the movie's about what toys do when humans leave, so there kind of have to be a couple of humans, you know?
Okay, but just so you know, their faces are, you know, absolutely gonna be the stuff of nightmares. Just haunting stuff.
Understood, sir.
So you said the movie's about toys?
Yeah, so the whole thing's gonna be that toys are actually alive, and they have, like, secret lives going on when humans leave the room.
Oh!
And when humans come back into the room, they all rush back to their places and go stiff again.
I have just so many questions.
Uh-oh.
Like, what happens if somebody peeks through the window and sees the toys running around?
I don't know.
At what point of the toy-making process do they become sentient?
I don't know.
If a toy's head breaks, does it die, and if a new replacement head is put on, is that an entirely new being?
Oh, please stop asking me questions.
I'm sorry, it's just you drop a bombshell like toys come alive when you leave the room, and I have a couple of questions.
Yeah, well, the whole thing falls apart if you think about it a little bit, so, you know, please don't do that.
Fair enough. So what happens in the movie?
Well, there's this kid Andy, and his favorite thing to play with is this little Woody.
Oh.
See, Woody is the name of a cowboy toy, and he's actually the main character of the movie.
Oh, okay.
And he's kind of the leader of Andy's toys, so they all look up to him. There's even a female toy, Bo Peep, who's, like, into him romantically.
Toys can be romantically involved with each other?
We're certainly gonna suggest that, yeah.
I don't know much about the internet just yet, but I feel like people are gonna take that information and do some pretty weird stuff with it.
Oh, I'm gonna make sure to get my dial-up modem set up and check that out.
Okay, you weirdo.
So anyway, Andy's family is moving in like a week, so all the toys are getting ready for moving day.
Okay.
But then they realize that it's Andy's birthday party, so they all get scared that they're gonna get replaced by a cool new toy.
Oh, interesting.
And for the most part, they seem to be safe because all of Andy's friends are horrible at giving gifts.
What do you mean?
Well, they get him like bed sheets and a lunchbox.
Okay, yeah, those are some pretty boring birthday gifts for a child.
But then Andy's gonna get this new toy called Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, what's his deal?
Well, what's really fun about him is that he doesn't know he's a toy. He thinks he's an actual space ranger.
Oh, that's funny.
I thought so too. He thinks he's on a mission or something.
Hilarious.
And so Andy gets obsessed with Buzz and he replaces Woody as the favorite toy.
And what's Andy's reaction to seeing Buzz moving around and talking?
What are you talking about?
Well, you said that the toys hide the fact that they're alive when a human enters the room, but if Buzz doesn't think he's a toy, he wouldn't do that, right?
Oh my God.
Did you not realize that?
No, I didn't realize that. Now this whole thing doesn't make sense. Aw, damn it.
Whoa, it's okay.
No, it's not okay. Buzz not thinking he's a toy is a major part of the movie, but then I have him freeze whenever humans show up. It doesn't make any sense.
Look, it's fine. Maybe people won't notice.
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Oh my God, no, it's fine. We'll move on.
Okay, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay.
So what else happens?
Well, like I said, now Andy is obsessed with Buzz Lightyear, so his mom completely redecorates his room. We're talking Buzz Lightyear blankets and posters.
Aren't they moving?
Yeah.
So they put that poster up for like a day?
I guess so.
Interesting choice.
So then because Woody's jealous, he decides to knock Buzz behind a dresser.
Okay.
But then he accidentally knocks him out a window.
Oh no.
So all the other toys call Woody a murderer and they want to hang him to death.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they don't even give him time to explain. Immediate death sentence.
That is so dark.
Super dark. And then through some wacky circumstances, Buzz and Woody both end up in a claw machine at a pizza place.
Oh, that does sound wacky.
But then they end up getting taken home by Andy's neighbor, Sid.
And what's Sid's deal?
Oh, well, he's super evil. He makes toys explode and he, like, crafts different parts of toys onto other toys.
Pretty creative, actually.
Yeah, super evil.
Just a kid using his imagination.
Anyway, so at Sid's house, Buzz is gonna see a TV commercial for himself and realize he's a toy.
Oh, so what does he do?
Well, he goes into this deep existential depression.
Oh, existentialism is tight. Why are we even here?
I don't know.
Fair enough. Let me know if you figure it out.
So then Sid decides he wants to use this huge rocket thing on Buzz and all the toys have to stop him.
Wow, it's gonna be impossible for them to stop a human.
Actually, super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Woody just breaks all the rules and starts talking to him, and then Sid's other toys start crawling towards him.
That is horrifying.
Yeah.
That kid's gonna have some serious psychological damage.
Well, serves him right for what he did to those toys.
I mean, he didn't know they were alive. He was just having fun, and now they probably ruined his life.
Yeah.
Toys are ruthless.
They are. So then Woody and Buzz race down the street to try to catch up with the moving truck.
They race down a public street, won't people see them?
Most probably, but we're not gonna deal with that, because I don't wanna.
Well, okay then.
So what do you think?
Well, as the first computer animated feature, I think it's gonna be great.
Yeah, we're basically paving the way for a whole new kind of animated feature.
Yeah, and if this is how CG animated features are kicking off, I can't wait to see the kind of stuff they make in the future.
Oh, things are gonna get good. So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's gonna be an adaptation of the classic fairy tale, The Snow Queen.
Oh, and how are we adapting it?
In the absolutely loosest way possible.
Oh, loose things are tight.
No, they're not.
Right? Of course they're not. What the hell am I saying?
Anyway, so we're gonna meet this young princess, Elsa, and she's gonna accidentally hurt her sister, Anna, with her ice powers.
Oh, whoops.
Whoopsie. So then their parents bring them to see these magical little rock trolls.
Oh, are they gonna be cute?
No, but they will be annoying and give irresponsibly vague advice.
That's just as good.
Anyway, so the head troll is like, first of all, we need to erase Anna's memories of this happening.
How come they need to do that?
To protect her.
How does that protect her?
Unclear.
Feels like it'd be a lot safer if she had a heads up about her sister's powers, you know, maybe learned how to protect herself from them.
Yeah, well, they're gonna go with the memory erase thing.
Fair enough.
And the head troll also says that if somebody gets hit in the heart with these ice powers, it's not so easy to fix.
But he explains how to fix it in case that happens.
He does not. I told you, these trolls are vague as hell.
Right.
And then the troll is gonna say that she needs to learn to control her powers and that fear is gonna be her enemy.
Wow, so what do Elsa's parents do?
They lock her up in her room and make her scared of her powers and of human contact.
Oh, wow, they did not listen to that advice.
They did not, and so eventually they die in a shipwreck.
Oh my god, where were they even sailing to?
They were sailing up on out of this movie because I'm done with them.
Well, okay then.
So then Elsa and Anna spend 3 years inside the castle separated from each other and the outside world.
Why can't Anna leave?
Unclear.
And who's running everything while they're locked up?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
So then it's time for Elsa's coronation and a bunch of people are invited over and Anna instantly falls in love with this Prince Hans.
Wow.
But then Elsa accidentally reveals that she has ice powers and people freak out and call her a monster.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and then she accidentally causes an eternal winter and runs away.
Jeez, that coronation went horribly.
It did, and so then she's gonna sing this amazing song about, you know, moving on from her past or something.
Oh, what's the song called?
Oh, I don't know yet. Probably something like Moving On Up.
Eh, not a fan of that. Maybe something like Breaking Free.
Maybe, The Past Is Gone.
Okay, let's just let it go for now and figure it out later.
Whoa, wait, what was that?
What?
Repeat that last thing you just said.
I said, let it go.
Right. But the end part?
I said, we'll figure it out later.
Yeah, we'll figure it out later, because I can't think of anything good right now.
Oh, the way you got excited there, I thought I sparked an idea.
Oh, no, I just get really excited about procrastination.
It is pretty great.
So anyway, Elsa heads up into the mountains and builds a giant ice castle to live in.
A castle that's fully made of ice?
Yeah. Pretty sweet, right?
But where's she gonna poop?
Well, she doesn't have any food to eat, so maybe she won't poop at all.
Yeah, I don't understand how she intends to stay alive there.
Yeah, me neither. Let's not think about this at all, okay?
Sounds like a plan to me.
So then back home, Anna is like, I need to go find my sister.
And so who does she bring with her?
Nobody.
She goes alone?
Yeah, she feels responsible, so she goes alone with no equipment or supplies or even winter clothing.
But what if something happens to her? Then there's no way this works out.
Well, she feels like she should go alone, so she leaves Hans in charge.
The guy who's visiting?
Yeah.
Feels like whoever was running things before the coronation should be left in charge.
Yeah, but I don't even know who that is, so this random prince that's visiting's gonna be left in charge.
Well, okay then.
So anyway, Anna is gonna meet this guy Kristoff and his reindeer Sven, and they're gonna team up.
Alright.
And they're gonna meet this sentient snowman Olaf that Elsa created.
Wait, hold on, she made a sentient snowman?
Yeah, and his whole thing is that he likes warmth and so—
But you're saying she created life out of thin air?
I mean, yeah, but that's not the point. The point is that Olaf is this wacky guy
who— I feel like that should be the point.
No, we're gonna focus on how funny this snowman is.
I mean, her ice powers don't even compare to the power of creating life out of nothing.
Oh, definitely don't put too much thought into this godlike ability she has.
Why not?
Because I didn't.
Alright, I'll try to act like that's not a game changer.
Great, so Olaf is really silly and he has no idea that heat, the one thing he's obsessed with, is the one thing that would kill him.
That's pretty dark, actually.
No, we're gonna play it for a laugh.
Oh, we are, okay then.
Anyway, eventually Elsa's gonna accidentally shoot Anna in the heart with her ice stuff and get captured.
Oh, none of that's good.
It's not. So then Anna starts to turn to ice or something.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so Kristoff brings her to see the rock trolls because he witnessed all that stuff when they were kids.
And this is the first time he's bringing that up?
It is.
Wow, very unnecessary secrets.
Yeah, so then the trolls sing a very forgettable song and then explain that Anna can be saved by true love.
That would have been good to know this entire time. time.
Maybe. And so then we're gonna find out that Hans was evil this whole time.
How do we find that out?
He literally just explains it all for no reason.
Great, that's a very convenient way for us to find out.
Definitely. So Hans is gonna try to kill Elsa, and Anna's gonna sacrifice herself to save her.
Oh.
Yeah, and it turns out that that was an act of true love, so she gets saved.
Wow, and so what do they do with Hans? How do they punish him?
They send him home.
Oh, that'll show him.
Yeah, I guess. So then Elsa gets to be queen.
Wait, what about all the people in the kingdom who thought she was a monster because of the ice powers?
What about them?
Well, it's gonna be hard for them to get over that.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she just reverses the winter with love or something, and they're all like, oh, everything's great now.
Oh, that was easy, so they're just not scared of her powers anymore?
Nope, everything's fine, and so, yeah, that's about it.
Wow.
So any ideas about who to cast as Anna and Elsa? We need people who can sing.
Oh, yeah, well, I was thinking maybe Kristen Bell as Anna, and maybe Idina Menzel as Elsa.
Idina Menzel? I'm not familiar with her.
Oh, she's this amazing Broadway performer. She did Rent, and she did Wicked.
Oh, okay.
Trust me, after this movie, everybody's gonna know her name.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Yeah, so I got your email, and I have to ask, what kind of a title is Frozen-ee? Is that a pasta or something?
Oh, actually, no, it's Frozen 2, but the 2 is in Roman numerals.
Oh, Roman numerals, very fancy, although I do think the movie should be in English.
Yeah, no, it will be.
Well, great, I mean, the first Frozen movie made over $1 billion, so... You know, let's do it.
But I haven't even told you about the movie yet.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be necessary. You know, refresh the brand, sell some new merch. Sounds good to me. I'm sold.
Okay, well, can I tell you about it?
Yeah, no, I should know what it's about.
Okay.
So what happens in this thing?
Oh, a whole bunch of stuff, but to be honest, it was a little tricky to figure out.
Oh, how come?
Well, the first movie was supposed to be a one-time thing. It pretty much ended with, and then they live happily ever after.
Right, but then money happened.
But then money happened, so in this one we have to be like, yeah, they lived happily ever after, but...
The movie's a butt?
The movie's a butt.
Oh, butts are tight.
Some are, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
So anyway, we're gonna start the movie off with a flashback of Anna and Elsa's parents telling them some bedtime exposition.
Okay.
So they're gonna tell them about an enchanted forest and a mystical river. They're just gonna take turns dropping a bunch of information before the title card even shows up.
Wow, okay. Well, I guess it'll be nice to get all the exposition out of the way at the beginning.
Oh, no, it's pretty much gonna be continuous throughout the whole thing.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, see, I'm trying to expand the mythology of the Frozen universe, so that means explaining things to the audience for extended periods of time.
Well, okay then.
So anyway, then Elsa gets the, you know, call to adventure, as they say in screenwriting books.
Okay, so what's the call to adventure in this movie?
Literally a voice calling her to adventure. It's this mysterious singing voice.
A mysterious singing voice? What does that sound like?
Well, it kind of sounds like...
Oh my god. You have the voice of an angel.
Thank you. So anyway, that's gonna lead into this song called Into the Unknown.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, Elsa's gonna sing about how she's not interested in following this voice, but then by the end of the song, she's gonna be like, yeah, no, okay, let's do this.
Wow, 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 wow.
And then we're gonna have a new song every 3 or 4 minutes till the end of the movie.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, well, Let It Go was such a big hit in the first movie that I figure if we just throw a bunch of songs out there, maybe one of them will stick.
Sounds like a good strategy to me.
So anyway, then Arendelle gets messed up by these elemental spirits, and Elsa's gotta head into the enchanted forest.
Okay.
And so, you know, Anna and Olaf and Kristoff and Sven go with her.
Why did they go with her?
Well, because they were in the first movie.
Right, but like story-wise.
Well, they were in the first movie.
Oh, okay.
So then they go to this magical, mystical barrier at the edge of a forest that they have to go through.
Ugh, sounds like the movie Annihilation.
Yeah, it's like Annihilation, but less horrifying.
Very cool.
So then they're gonna meet these like native people called the Northuldra, as well as some soldiers from Arendelle that have been trapped inside for years.
Wow.
Yeah, just this amazing cast of new characters that have less than 5 lines apiece and almost no impact on the events of the film.
I bet they'll look good on a lunchbox, though.
They're gonna look great on a lunchbox.
Great.
And eventually we're gonna find out that Elsa and Anna's grandfather was responsible for killing a bunch of these Northuldra people and taking their land.
Oh, no.
Yeah, see, because the first movie was really good, but I always felt like it could have used a hint of colonialism and implied genocide.
That certainly wasn't covered in the first movie, for sure.
So basically the main characters are gonna have to figure out how to lift this curse.
So who's, like, the big villain in this thing?
No villain.
goblin, sir. Just a vague curse that needs to be lifted.
Oh, okay.
So then throughout the movie, the characters are gonna encounter a bunch of magical-related problems.
Oh, man, is it gonna be hard to solve those?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, every time a magical problem arises, it'll be solved by some other magic that exists because I decided it did.
Wow. And so what is Olaf up to this whole time?
Oh, well, he's pretty much doing the same thing he did in the first movie.
Chiming in once in a while to try and sell merchandise to children?
That's right.
I love it.
We're also gonna discover that one of the elements they're dealing with, fire, is actually a cute little lizard available wherever toys are sold.
Amazing. And what's Kristoff up to this whole time?
Well, he's trying to propose to Anna, but he keeps phrasing it badly and messing it up.
Okay. So.
Oh, that's it? Yeah, just that. Over and over and over again.
Ugh, sounds kind of repetitive.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with him, so I gave him a storyline from a 90s sitcom and then sidelined him for the last 40 minutes.
Fair enough. As long as he's in it, I guess, because he was in the first movie.
He was in the first movie, that's right.
So how does the movie end?
Well, in the whole movie, there are these elemental spirits, right? Earth, water, wind, and fire, but we're also saying that there's a fifth mysterious bridge one.
Okay.
And in the end, we're gonna find out that Elsa is that final spirit.
Aren't her powers kind of water powers, though, because of what ice is?
Listen, I'm not a scientist.
Oh, you're not? Okay, sorry, that was rude of me to bring up.
So anyway, Elsa realizes that to lift this curse that the spirits put on everybody, they need to break this dam that her grandfather built.
Okay.
But we need to have Anna do something, because she was in the first movie, so Elsa's literally gonna freeze.
So how does Anna manage to break the dam?
Well, she lures these rock giants over to the dam, and they bust it open.
Very cool.
So then all this water is rushing towards Arendelle, which, by the way, has been evacuated.
Wow, well, it's gonna be cool to actually have some consequences for the horrible thing those people did to the Northuldra.
Well, actually, Elsa's gonna swoop in and stop the water, so no consequences at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I think that would be too politically charged or whatever, so no consequences at all. Everybody gets a happy ending.
That sounds safer, and I'm into it.
Yeah, so what do you think overall? Do you think it's gonna do well?
Well, let me ask you something. Are the characters and the brand name gonna appear on the posters?
They will, yeah.
Then it's gonna be just fine.
So, you have an animated movie for me.
Yes, sir, I do. And it kind of takes the things having a secret life premise from Toy Story, but for like a new generation that doesn't play with toys anymore.
Oh, so what's gonna have a secret life?
What would a kids use more than toys these days?
Oh, okay, I think I see where you're going with this.
Yeah?
Yeah, you wanna make an emoji movie?
Oh my god, no.
Yeah, as soon as I said it, it sounded like an awful idea.
Nobody should ever do that.
And I pray that they don't. That would be truly terrible.
Yeah, no, this movie's called Wreck-It Ralph, and it's about the secret life of video game characters that live in an arcade.
Oh, sweet. Kids are always at arcades these days.
Yeah, not only are arcades all over the place, but they're always packed.
It is a good time to own an arcade. So what happens in the movie?
Well, the main character, Ralph, has been the bad guy in this video game called Fix-It Felix Jr. for 30 years. And his life kind of sucks when compared to the good guys, so he decides that he's sick of being a bad guy.
Wait, he's been living that crappy life for 30 years? Why only do something about it now?
It's the 30th anniversary of the game.
Right, but he must have been feeling this way for a long time. What makes this moment so special?
This is when the movie starts.
Gotcha.
So anyway, to be a good guy, he needs to win a medal, so he decides to sneak into another game to do that.
How are the games connected?
Well, they're all plugged into the same surge protector, and if one of the machines gets unplugged, the characters in it die.
Wait, so they've never once unplugged the game in 30 years?
That's what we're going with.
What if something that's not a video game gets plugged in? Like, what if the janitor plugs in his vacuum? Can they go in the vacuum?
Oh, please don't think about the world building this much.
Why not?
Well, it's the kind of world building that falls apart if you think about it, so it's best not to do that.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so we find out through Sonic the Hedgehog that if characters die outside their own game, they're dead for good.
So Ralph goes into a safe little game to win a medal?
No, he goes into the most dangerous, violent, murdery game in the whole arcade.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, and then at this point in the script, I actually ran out of video game jokes to make.
Must have been hard to finish a script about video games without any video game jokes left.
Actually, super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just had Ralph head over to this game called Sugar Rush, so we start making candy puns instead of video game puns.
Oh, abruptly switching your pun strategy is tight.
Anyway, so Sugar Rush is this kind of racing game, and Ralph meets this character Vanellope, who's not allowed to race because she's a glitch.
Okay.
And she steals Ralph's medal to sneak into the race, so if she doesn't win, he's not getting it back.
Wow, this character sounds like a massive glitch.
Yeah, it was a real glitch move on her part, but she's actually pretty nice.
So what else should I know about Sugar Rush?
Well, the place is run by this guy, King Candy.
Oh, we should make him be like the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland. hand.
What do you mean?
Like, we just straight up make him look and sound exactly like the Mad Hatter.
Why would we do that, though?
Why wouldn't we do that?
But why would we?
Listen, I just really like Alice in Wonderland, so this is something that's gonna happen, okay?
But I don't understand.
This is happening. Are you on board or not?
Oh my god, I guess I'm on board.
Great.
Well, that got scary.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, at the end, we're gonna find out that he's actually a bad guy named Turbo in disguise. And he snuck into the game when his game got unplugged. Then he completely recoded it to make Vanellope a glitch instead of the princess that she actually is.
How does a video game character know how to recode an entire game?
I don't know, but he also erases everyone's memories so they don't know that she's a princess.
How does he know how to do that?
Dude, I don't even know.
Wow, this guy has such a convenient skill set.
Anyway, so Vanellope ends up winning the race, which completely fixes and resets the game.
Why would winning a video game do that?
Because that's what I wrote.
Fair enough.
So then Ralph goes back to his original job, but everyone's happy now.
So what's the message here exactly?
I don't know. I guess it's kind of you should just accept your position in life, no matter how crappy, and just do your job with a smile and keep your mouth shut.
That is an important lesson for kids to learn.
Yeah.
So you said that Sonic the Hedgehog is gonna be in this movie. Are there any other well-known characters?
Yeah, I have a few, but to be honest, I tried to keep it to a minimum.
How come?
Well, it kind of just felt like a cheap gimmick to get people to come watch the movie.
Oh yeah, that's not our style. We'd never do something like that.
So, you have a Wreck-It Ralph sequel script for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Oh, so what happens in Wreck-It Ralph 2?
Well, actually, I thought we could call it Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Feels like Ralph Wrecks the Internet would be more appropriate, you know, because of his name.
Right, but breaking the internet is a popular thing that people say online.
Oh, is that a thing? When did that become popular?
Oh, please don't look it up.
Okay, it says here that the term was popularized when Kim Kardashian did a naked photo shoot.
I mean, yes, that is when the phrase really hit the mainstream.
Doesn't feel super appropriate to name our movie that.
Don't you think it's time to reclaim that phrase, though? Aren't you tired of naked butts dictating every single thing you do?
I'm pretty sure you're the only one that's struggling with that, but okay.
I'm just sick of naked butts controlling my life, you know?
Anyway, so what's going on with the characters? Are Ralph and Vanellope still close?
Oh yeah, they get together after work every day and spend their entire nights together.
Oh!
Not like that.
Oh.
Yeah, no, they're friends and they hang out.
Are Felix and Calhoun gonna be in it? People love those characters from the first movie.
They sure are, sir.
Amazing.
Yeah, and they adopted 15 kids, so you can imagine the kind of hilarious hijinks they're gonna get into.
I can imagine it.
And you'll have to, because they're barely in the movie.
Oh!
So anyway, a player is gonna break the steering wheel on Vanellope's game, and so the owner of the arcade wants to sell the whole game for parts.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, he says there's a replacement part on eBay for $200, but the game doesn't even make that in a year.
So Ralph and Vanellope are gonna go to the internet?
They're gonna go to the internet.
Wow.
Yeah, so then they get there, and it's like this whole big cityscape.
Oh, that sounds super similar to what they did in the Emoji Movie.
Right, it's gonna be pretty similar to that, but ours is gonna be like 1,000 times better.
How can you be sure?
Well, first of all, the Emoji Movie is the Emoji Movie.
That's a good point.
And also, they could only reference random stuff like Candy Crush and Just Dance, but we can reference Disney properties.
Oh, that's a really good point.
Right?
And obviously by reference, you mean
advertise.
Right, just making sure.
So we're gonna have ads for Star Wars, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Zootopia, Big Hero 6.
That's incredible.
And it's all gonna be easy to incorporate because we're gonna have Vanellope go to ohmydisney.com.
It's like, oh my god, but Disney is God, as it should be.
Yeah, and we're gonna have this amazing scene where she runs into all the Disney princesses.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, when we put that in the trailer, it's gonna wreck the internet. It's really gonna be the highlight of the movie.
But do you think it's a little sad that the highlight of this movie is a scene that's all about other movies?
No.
Well, okay then.
Anyway, so Ralph and Vanellope are gonna run around the internet and encounter a bunch of ads for websites, too.
Why would we put ads for websites in here?
Because it's product placement. Those websites will pay you to be featured.
Money for me?
Money for you.
So you're saying that not only is this movie a commercial for other Disney properties, but also for a bunch of websites that'll pay me to be featured?
That's right, sir.
I want this movie made right now. I don't even want to hear the rest of the story.
Oh, I'd love to tell you, though.
Okay, but make it fast. I want to start making this money.
Okay, so Ralph and Vanellope need to make a bunch of money online to pay for the steering wheel, right?
Right.
So they follow this super sketchy pop-up bad guy, and that ends up leading them to a game called Slaughter Race, and Vanellope absolutely falls in love with it.
Wow, and that's a great message for kids.
What is?
That clicking on sketchy pop-up ads might seem a little scary at first, but ultimately you'll always get what you're looking for.
That's a good point, yeah.
That's how I met my wife, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she was a hot single in my area, just waiting to chat with me. Everything always works out with pop-up ads.
And another thing we're gonna do is have Ralph himself become a viral video star and make like $30,000 in a couple of hours.
Oh, that's good. That way we can show kids that becoming popular on YouTube takes little to no effort.
It is super easy, sir.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, we're pretty much gonna have them run around and encounter a bunch of jokes relating to the internet.
I feel like it's kinda risky to reference internet trends, though.
What do you mean?
Well, internet trends are notorious for being quickly forgotten, so won't the movie feel dated pretty quickly?
Well, we're only gonna reference timeless internet jokes. Like, for example, we have a reference to Chewbacca Mom.
What was Chewbacca Mom again?
I don't fully remember, to be honest.
Well, okay then.
We're also gonna have a thing where Twitter is represented by actual birds.
Oh, that's literally a thing in the Emoji Movie.
Well, we're gonna do it too.
Hey, we should have a scene where Ralph reads the comment section on his videos and gets really sad.
Why would that make him sad, though?
Aren't people, like, really mean in comment sections?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
All I ever see people write in the comment section is the phrase super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Why would they write that?
Yeah, I really don't know.
Oh, I guess writing super easy, barely an inconvenience in the comment section is tight.
I guess it is.
So how does the movie end?
Well, at the end of the movie, Vanellope is gonna stay in the internet and Ralph is gonna go back home.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, well, they're still gonna have, like, a web video chat once a week, so they're still good friends.
Ralph is still able to use internet devices when he's not in the internet?
Sure.
That works.
So what do you think?
I like it a lot. I mean, there's some fun stuff, but also some sad stuff, so it looks like you hit that balance really well.
Thanks, yeah, I really crafted this with people's emotions in mind, you know, so we can precisely plan when they'll feel happy and when they'll feel sad.
Well, it's not like something in an animated kids movie can be unexpectedly sad.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So I was thinking.
Nice.
Yeah, so 7 out of the 11 Pixar movies from the past decade have been sequels or prequels or spin-offs. 8 if you include Planes.
I do not.
Fair enough. So I figure on this one we could try something original like we used to.
I don't know, sounds kind of unsafe and risky.
Well, if it does well, we can make a sequel or a prequel or a spin-off.
That's a good point. So are we putting like a Pixar short before this thing?
No, I thought we could have a Simpsons short.
Oh, show off some of Disney's new purchases, I like it.
Yeah.
So what's the short gonna be about?
Maggie Simpson getting romantic.
Ugh.
But like in a cute way.
Oh, okay, and what about the actual movie?
Well, it takes place in a fantasy world where magic exists, but nobody uses it anymore because they developed technology which is easier to use.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're gonna have like unicorns acting like raccoons, the main characters have a dragon that acts like a dog.
It's not an animated movie without a thing that's not a dog acting like a dog.
Exactly.
So who are the main characters in this thing?
These two elf brothers, Ian and Barley.
What are elves like in this world?
They're basically humans, but blue with pointy ears.
Okay, gotcha.
So Ian is 16 and very unsure of himself, right?
Right.
And Barley is his older, more confident brother that's obsessed with this D&D style game called Quests of Yore.
Okay.
And so their dad died a long time ago when Ian was just a baby.
Oh, I love it. Parents have no business being alive in animated movies.
Well, they do still have a mom.
Aw.
And she actually has a boyfriend who's a centaur.
He's a centaur and she's like a human-sized elf.
That's right.
I have some questions.
Oh, please don't ask them.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, I'll keep those to myself.
Anyway, so this centaur is kind of a goofball, and he drives since it's easier than running.
Running is magic?
No, it's just inconvenient, so he has to squeeze into this little human-sized car.
If the magical beings are the ones that develop technology, why don't they have cars of different sizes for different creatures?
I don't know.
Oh, fair enough.
So anyway, the kid's dead father leaves them a staff that lets them bring him back for 24 hours.
Okay.
But they mess up the spell and only bring back his lower half.
So like, his crotch?
Well, like legs.
But like a crotch, though. We're gonna be looking at a man's crotch quite a bit.
Okay, yeah, sometimes we're gonna be looking at a crotch, and I know it sounds weird, but it's actually quite touching.
Oh, touching crotches are tight.
Oh my god,
I need to start filtering some of the things I say are tight.
You sure do, sir. So anyway, sometimes they're gonna build a fake torso for their dad to pretend that everything's normal.
Oh, fake chests are tight. What's that gonna be like?
Have you seen Weekend at Bernie's?
Sure, yeah.
That.
Well, okay then.
So if they want a shot at completing the spell and speaking with their dad, they need to track down this super rare Phoenix stone.
Oh, movies about tracking down valuable stones are very hot right now.
Yeah, so they take off to go find this thing, because after 24 hours, that's it, he's gone.
They don't bring the mom along?
They don't, no.
Very insensitive.
Yeah, I guess, but she's gonna try to follow them the whole time, so we'll check in with her.
Oh, okay.
So they take off on a road trip in Barley's van, and they meet this manticore lady.
And what's her deal?
Well, she used to go on adventures and send people on quests, and now she runs a restaurant.
Oh.
But Ian and Barley make her go crazy and, like, reignite her taste for adventure.
do they do that?
By talking to her for about 30 seconds.
Oh, that didn't take much.
Yeah, I guess she was right on the edge.
Wow.
So they keep going on this road trip and you know what they encounter?
Well, if this is a road trip movie, I'm gonna assume they encounter bikers of some kind.
They encounter bikers of some kind.
Do they do that thing where they accidentally tip over all their motorcycles?
You know it.
Never gets old.
Never gets old.
Right?
Oh, God, I hope so.
So what's up with these bikers?
Well, they're these little pixies, and since nobody uses magic anymore, they travel on these big motorcycles instead of flying.
What? Why wouldn't they fly?
Well, at the beginning of the movie, we show that planes exist, so nobody flies anymore.
Right, but you can't fly a plane through rush hour traffic.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a good point.
And if they're tiny, how would planes help them, like, reach shelves and stuff?
Listen, sir, I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about the magic logic, okay?
Oh, yeah, okay, let me get off of that thing.
Oh, thank you so much.
So what else happens?
Well, this is a quest, so they basically travel from obstacle to obstacle and try to get past them.
Oh man, is that gonna be hard for two teenagers to do?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, a whole lot of the problems they encounter can actually be solved by magic spells that Ian learns.
Oh, Barley can't do magic?
Nope, but he knows all about it.
How come Ian is the only magical one?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
So eventually they get the Phoenix Stone, but there's a curse that sends this big dragon stone thing after them.
Oh no.
Yeah, and there are only a couple minutes left before the dad's visitation spell wears off.
Oh no.
But see, Ian had this checklist of things he wanted to do with his dad, and he realizes that Barley actually checked all those boxes off by being his brother.
Okay.
So Ian fights off the dragon and lets Barley say goodbye to their dad, which he was too scared to do in the hospital as a kid.
Okay, so this is how we get the tears.
This is how we get the tears. I was told that was a requirement.
Oh yeah, Pixar runs on tears.
Right.
We run on tears.
Oh my god.
So what kind of voice talent were you thinking on this thing?
Well, I thought we could do some more cross-pollination of things that Disney owns and grab some talent from the MCU.
That's smart. So who should we get to voice Barley?
Well, overly confident character who thinks their plans are always the best sounds like a certain somebody from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're thinking...
I am.
Glenn Close.
No, Chris Pratt.
Oh, yeah, that is a much better choice. What about Ian?
Well, he's an awkward, scrawny teenager. That's Tom Holland to a T.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. We better snatch him up fast before another animated movie takes him for that kind of role.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna want to be first on that for sure.
So, you have a big new idea for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking we could launch a streaming service.
Oh, why would we do that?
Well, I mean, Netflix is popular.
Right, aren't they like $10 billion in debt?
$12 billion, actually.
Well, I hate debt, but I love gambling, so sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually tearing my family apart. So what would we call this streaming service?
Well, I was thinking we could call it Disney Plus.
Oh, that's very clever, because nerds spend a lot of money on entertainment.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm assuming you put math in the title to appeal to nerds?
Well, actually, I meant plus as in more, you know? Like, I think it's a Latin word originally.
Oh, okay, I see what you're going for.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah. Nerds also love Latin. We're gonna have them in the palms of our hands.
Well, no... Okay.
So what kind of stuff should we make available on this thing?
Well, we could put all the old Disney stuff, you know, lure people in with nostalgia.
Well, you think nostalgia is powerful enough to do that?
The Lion King remake made $1.6 billion.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so we could have a bunch of stuff that people love, you know, a whole lot of Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, a whole lot of Pooh is tight.
Yep, I also figure we could have some old live action stuff too.
What kind of stuff are we talking?
Oh, we're talking Greyfriars Bobby, Darby O'Gill and the Little People, those Callaways, Sammy the Way Out Seal.
Are those the names of movies or members of an old-timey street gang?
They're movies, I'm pretty sure. We're also gonna have a bunch of animated classics.
So what are we gonna do about some of our older movies that have, you know, insensitive depictions? It's gonna be tough to get away with streaming those today.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, I figure we could just add a line to the description of those things saying that they may contain outdated cultural references.
Oh, outdated. That's a great word to avoid saying the real word.
Yeah.
What about Song of the South? Are we gonna put that on here?
Oh, no.
Yeah, probably best to steer clear of that one altogether.
I also thought we could put all the Star Wars movies.
Oh, that's a good idea. We should do that for sure.
Amazing.
Except we can't have The Last Jedi or Solo a Star Wars Story at launch. Those are still tied up in streaming contracts.
I somehow feel like a lot of people are gonna be okay with that. And what about the Star Wars Holiday Special?
Well, that one's a myth. That never actually happened.
I mean, I feel like it happened.
It never actually happened.
Oh my god, okay, yeah, no, it didn't, never happened.
Great.
Okay.
Also, I should mention that George Lucas did have a successful break-in recently, so A New Hope is gonna be slightly altered.
A successful break-in? What are you talking about?
Well, periodically, George Lucas tries to break in and modify the Star Wars movies. I mean, we have a whole security team on it, but he's surprisingly slippery.
Wow, so what did he alter?
McClunky?
McClunky?
Yeah, now Greedo says McClunky before Han shoots him, I don't know.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, just something we're gonna have to live with.
I've also been speaking with Jon Favreau, and he's really into the idea of making a Star Wars TV show.
Oh, very interesting. What would it be called?
The Mandalorian.
Oh, that sounds like a decorative lamp or something. Not very exciting.
Yeah, you might think it's about decorative lamps, but it's actually about a bounty hunter.
Wow, 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 wow.
I also thought we could have some Marvel TV shows.
Oh.
You know, eventually.
Oh, I had a very premature oh.
You did, and I also thought we could put all the MCU movies on this thing, you know? People are gonna be really pumped to rewatch those.
Yeah, they will. Although they will have to wait for certain movies that are still tied up at Netflix.
Well, as long as the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies wind up on this thing, I think people are gonna be happy.
Yeah, that might never happen.
Oh, dang it.
Anything else you wanna put on this thing?
Well, technically, we could put all the seasons of The Simpsons on this thing, you know? That'd be pretty huge.
Oh, that's a great idea. Let's crop those bad boys.
What?
Chop, chop. So how much content would we have on this thing at launch exactly?
Well, about 750 hours of movies and about 3,000 hours of TV.
Wow, are we gonna be able to support that, like, technology-wise? I'm assuming millions of people are gonna sign up.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be able to handle it just fine.
Hey guys, it's Ryan here. Thanks for watching that pitch meeting. I hope you liked it. I want to give a quick shout out to our animated channel, Brainiac. They have some really interesting stuff over there. We're talking like shark attack survival tips. You never know when you're going to need that. Hopefully never, but it's good to know. They also have a video about how long you can actually go without showering. That's pretty cool. Don't try that at home, please. They just have a lot of fun animations where you can learn about fun topics and have a fun time. So go ahead, give them a look if you like, and tell them that Screen Rant sent you. And as always, be sure to check back here for new videos. Bye-bye.